I am very excited to talk about motorcycles anytime anybody feels like talking about motorcycles. So if that is a particular passion of yours, definitely catch me on the break and we'll chat. So my name is Josh Olson, and I do indeed work for Microsoft Ireland. I've joined Microsoft Ireland recently in the I joined in February. Okay, so I worked in Microsoft for about 4.5 years. That whole time, I've been in the platform evangelism department in based in Michigan until the last couple months, obviously. So then I'm over here. Honestly, cloud computing is one of the reasons that I decided to move to Ireland, was that I saw the potential of cloud computing, and then I saw the potential of Ireland's role in cloud computing, and I wanted to be part of that. So you'll hear more about that as we go through. Oops, accidentally zoomed in there, didn't I? What's that? Yeah, there you go, there you go. Okay. Escape. There we are. All right. So, can you go back to here? My new flipper. So, my name is Josh. We're Marshall. Fantastic. I love my job. Because my job is really to learn new technologies, go tell my friends, learn more new technologies, make new friends, and go tell them. And really, it's all about, you know, helping people be successful on the Microsoft platform. And really, at this point in time, I'm working with a lot of independent software vendors, a lot of web developers, a lot of corporations on helping them build distinguished front ends, whether that's on phone or natural user interface with Kinect and Surface, etc., IE9 and HTML5, and all of that is cloud-backed. Okay, so backed by some type of cloud provider. And you know, obviously we have ours, Azure, that, you know, we're going to be talking about a little bit as we go through. But cloud computing in general is a big, big, big player in the computing industry today, and particularly here in Ireland. So what I want to do today is I want to share Microsoft's vision of cloud computing in Ireland. Okay? And this honestly, again, this is why I moved to Ireland, was because of this vision right here. Now, a lot of people think that the cloud computing is this kind of like living kind of thing where everybody, it's a buzzword, that everybody's kind of running towards the cliff. Hey, you know, we decided that's not enough. You know, buzzword compatibility is not enough. So, Microsoft Ireland, we believe that this is a rainmaker around the world, but particularly that rain is going to come back through Ireland. And so, we hired the Goodbody consultants, their economic consultants, to commission the Cloud Economic Report. How many of you have read the Cloud Economic Report? All right, handful of people. Fantastic. So, when I first read this, early drafts of it, last year, and started getting real excited. I started calling Claire, my new manager at this point. So, you know, that's the punchline, is that I started calling Claire and saying, okay, this is kind of cool, kind of exciting. I'm really excited about kind of where this is going in Ireland. Because one of the numbers that kind of really jumped off the page and kind of smacked me was that cloud computing is going to have a 9.5 billion, with a B, euro impact on the Irish economy by the year 2014. That's a big number. I mean, I don't care what denomination of currency you're talking about, 9.5 billion is a very large number. To put it in perspective, that's about 4.5% of the GDP. Those kind of numbers caught my attention. They went on to talk about the fact that they're looking at 8,500 people directly employed in cloud computing related jobs, whether that is developing or selling or marketing cloud computing, whether that's through software as a service, you know, where, you know, in fact, a lot of the case studies that we're talking about today are from you know, ISVs that are around that are selling software as a service out to to their end users. So one of the great case studies we're going to be talking about a little later on is Staff Balance. Staff Balance has yet to buy a single server for their entire operation. Everything from their customer relationship management to their office management to their HR to their entire infrastructure, their entire company is run on cloud computing. And most of that is through software as a service. And then they are offering software as a service again out to their end customers. So that's fantastic. That gets me really excited. But then, 8,500 here, that's going to have a knock-on effect. I mean, if you think about it for a second, 8,500 people having $9.5 billion impact on the Irish economy. That's a high yield per employee there. That's kind of cool. There we go. So that's going to have a knock-on effect of an additional 11,000 jobs across 2,200 small and medium-sized businesses. These are people that are supporting those 8,500 people, because that those 8,500 people, because that 8,500 people are going to need dry cleaning, they're going to need forests, they're going to need their lawn mowed. They're too busy to do that themselves, so they're going to have to hire people to do that. These are the theories, right? So, but not on the fact of another 11,000 people. So we're talking about 19,500 employed people from cloud computing by the year 2014. Those sound like good numbers to you? I like those numbers a lot. Alright, so where are we at now? Okay, so cloud computing is a fledgling, okay-ish kind of thing, if you look at it from the age of the buzzword. But if you look at companies like Microsoft and companies like Salesforce and Google and Amazon, they've been doing cloud computing for quite a while now. Microsoft's been doing cloud computing since about 1989. You shouldn't call it that. And I've been with application service providers since the mid-80s. And I would call software as a service. Okay, so this is a fairly mature business model. But it's recently that we have started taking a look at some of these giant data centers that are running large applications such as Xbox Live, Hotmail, and Office 365, and our Exchange Online, and our Dynamics, which is our CRM solution, and all this other stuff. And offering that out for other people to run applications inside of. Okay, similarly, if you look at Amazon, they're a bookstore, and they have this excess computing, and they have started leasing that excess computing out. Okay, so this is not a new concept. This is not a new proposition. In fact, it's been a while now that we've had some of the largest data centers in the world based right here in Dublin. Kind of exciting. Start thinking about it that way. This is actually not a new industry. This is a revolution of an existing industry. And this revolution is kind of exciting because cloud computing is really about improving your strategy. Okay? As a company, it's improving your strategy so that you can service your customers better, so that you can go to market faster, bigger, stronger, cheaper. That's really the promise of cloud computing. So what I want to do is I want to talk about breaking down some of these barriers to innovation. Because let's think about this for a minute. When you have a new concept in a traditional model, what do? When you have a new concept for an application? Okay? Let's say it's a web application and you're inside of an enterprise. Let's not even talk about startups for a minute. Let's say you're inside of an enterprise. What's the average length of time that takes to get a machine provisioned and in-house and up and running so that you can start testing on it? Anybody? 2 months. Anybody else? No other brave souls out there. 6 months. Wow, nobody else? All right, everybody else is magically here. Fantastic. Love that. What's that? Yeah, okay. So the average amount of time that it takes to request a new server, get that order, get it in-house, get it installed into your own data center, get your software loaded up on it, be ready to start testing, industry industry average is 6 weeks. That's a long time. That's a month and a half. You figure the average tenure of an employee in the tech industry at a particular company is about 2 years. You're talking about a measurable percentage of somebody's tenure at a company. That's scary. And then, what does that server cost? Well, what does it cost to buy a new server today? Let's be generous. Let's be nice and say $3,000. That $3,000, that is a barrier to innovation because you've got to go find budget for it. You've got to go find somebody to do it. And particularly if you're looking at building a large-scale application, now you've got a very, very large barrier to entry, barrier to innovation. Okay, so a little bit, we're going to talk about a case study here. This is from Australia, okay? The New South Wales Education Department. They are the largest education department in the Southern Hemisphere. Okay, to put it in perspective, their 8th grade scientific class is 65,000 students. That's a lot of students in 8th grade. And that's spread across 650 schools. Okay, so they wanted to start moving the ball ahead and start being able to really, you know, be progressive about the way that they test, the currency of the answers, the currency of, you know, the speed at which they're able to turn around those tests, because previously it was all paper, right? And so you have to print out 2,100 pages per student, and let's pretend for a minute that it's just 10 pages per student. 10 times 65,000, that's still a lot of dead trees. And that costs a lot of money. But then, turnaround time on grading all those papers, even if it's, you know, 20 students per teacher, that's still a fairly long turnaround time on all that grading. What if you just done? So they want to move all that testing online. So they decided to look at in-house. And then they looked at cloud computing. So when they looked at in-house, they were looking at a $200,000 capital investment just for servers. Okay? Because they're going to have to run across 650 schools, 65,000 students on the same day. So $200,000, and this is U.S. dollar, up, which I know is not real money over here, but 60 is still, in some parts of the world, it's still considered real money. But $200,000 capital investment just in server hardware. And then who knows how much it was going to cost ongoing to store those servers, to cool those servers, to you know, maintain server admins, to, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is a non-starter. You know, it wasn't going to happen when you're talking about those kind of finances. So, what do they do? They start looking at Windows Admin. And there were a number of things that were very, very exciting about this for them. A, they could scale up and scale down on demand. They, you know, they didn't have to pay for power or cooling or server admins or anything in the meantime. Just when they needed them, the servers were there. When they didn't need them, somebody else was using them. They like this. This is the promise of cloud computing. So, how much do you think it costs to run those tests? $8,000? $50,000? $1,000? Anybody get any guesses?
Five grand.
Now you realize that the $1,000 that I got up there is 1/200th of the original upfront capital expenditure. And we're suggesting $1,000 or $5,000. Operating expense. The answer is, at 12 cents an hour times 300 servers equals 40 an hour equals, for the day, $500. That's exciting numbers to me. That exciting numbers to anybody else? Yeah. All right. Fantastic. So this is, we destroyed that. Not just we reduced the barrier to innovation. We destroyed the barrier to innovation. Because this $500 wouldn't even cover the power strips that it would take to run that $200,000 worth of server hardware. So, I mean, to put it in perspective, $200,000 versus 500. Okay? This making sense? All right, this is one of the great case studies, case scenarios for cloud computing, where you have it on, and then you have it off. Okay? There's others where you have peaks and valleys. Okay, so, you know, I can talk about a number of different case studies where, let's say we're going with a bulletin board service. Bulletin boards historically have got a up and down role even during a particular day. You know, when there's a great rugby match on, you know, obviously the numbers drop off because everybody's at the pub. As soon as the match is over, everybody comes back and talks about it. So you'll see that spike. But even during a normal day, you'll see a spike right as people are at breakfast. And it drops off as people go to work. Picks up at lunch, drops off, comes back up around 8 o'clock when everybody puts their kids to bed. But that kind of rolling, even during the day, they want to be able to turn on and off servers because you're maximizing for that peak load. Okay, Domino's Pizza is one that I used to work with quite heavily. They were in my backyard in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Their chief architect still plays golf in the set of clubs that I gave him. That was before I joined Microsoft, and no longer allowed to do that, so in case anybody gets their hopes up. Their data center, they had a data center that was about twice the size of this room. It was huge, and it was built for their peak performance. They had two spikes that were twice as large as any other spike the rest of the year. Okay? One of those spikes was 50% larger than the other. So they had one giant spike, one medium-sized spike. Any guesses as to what those two spikes were? Super Bowl was the second largest spike they had. Number one spike that they had was? Anybody know the American? Not Independence Day. It's another American holiday. Thanksgiving! When everybody's out. Exactly. Yeah, I had the exact same. I was like, you know, that's sad. Just to be honest, criminals here. But when everybody's supposedly at home, you know, eating turkey and everything else, there's a huge push across college campuses where kids can't get home from school and all the cafeterias are closed to order pizza. So they all order from Domino's online. It's fantastic. So that is their largest spike. They are at 95% utilization on that day. And then on the Super Bowl Sunday, they're at 50% utilization, roughly. And then on Super Bowl Monday, or Thanksgiving Monday, you know, they're at 5% utilization. It's crazy for them to have that size of a data center for those two spikes a year. They have other rolling spikes, but nothing that approached the 50% utilization of their entire server data center. So now they've ended up pushing all that, and it's actually a Java-based application, and they push all that up into Windows Azure. And they're able to explode into the cloud and then roll back into what they have remaining of their data center when they are within that utilization window. So, again, you know, on and off, great case studies for Windows Azure. So, another one, though, is as a startup, if you want to come out of the gate with global reach, or even if you're an enterprise, and have an application that you want to geosynchronate around the world, going with a cloud computing solution is fantastic. And the cheapest way that you're going to be able to do it. Okay? So, take a case study here from Ireland. So this is from down at Cork. So, HR Locker. John Denny has given me these slides here. They launched on January 1st. Since January 1st to April 17th, these are their users, spread all around the world. They've been able to land some pretty good-sized accounts like Ryanair and PopCap, Thomas Cook, etc. But they've also been able to land very interesting small little niche companies like the New Zealand Skydivers Club. Okay, cool. The Pakistani Tourism Board. I didn't know Pakistan had a tourism board, but evidently they need HR. So they've gone with HR Locker. So and then actually Staff Balance is a customer of HR Locker. But their users are scattered all over the world. In fact, they have full-time servers running out of our Asian data center. They're in Singapore. to service their Asia Pacific customers. Because the lag time, just, you know, pure network, the length of the network pipe from Dublin out to Asia Pacific was about a 20-second round trip. So they decided, you know, let's just spin up some servers there. And so they have. And you know how long it took to spin up servers in the Asia Pacific data center? About 5 minutes. He said, we need them over here. Click. And they just happened. I like that. Makes me excited. Okay? So another one is, let's say that you're going to have to scale very, very quickly or land very big fish right out of the gate. Okay, so I have customers that are courting companies such as The Gap. If they land The Gap, they're going to have 3 million users on the first day. Fantastic. They need to be able to scale. But to land some of these big fish, we have another great case study here from Ireland as well, and that is staff balance. So please help me welcome up Kira McGowan to talk about staff balance a little bit.
Three years ago, I left secure, permanent, pensionable world of a corporate job, and I jumped into the world of a technology startup. But my time in the corporate world gave me a great insight into some of the different things that a corporate looks at and assessing its need to change, and some of the criteria it measures how it should implement new technology solutions. So things like a very solid business case, a strong return on investment, a reliable with the appropriate functionality, but also a speedy implementation. And this is where there were lots of issues. And I heard working in corporate, an IT department being referred to as the business prevention unit. Because what happens is the business needs to change fast. They're looking for a solution, but it goes into a priority list. And because most corporates have up to 100, couple to 100 of different initiatives that they want implemented at any one time. And it really is about prioritization in terms of which is the most important. But it would break your heart in trying to line up the IT guys to get the service in place, to get the DBAs and the sysadmin set up to deliver a particular solution. So with that in mind, we started staff balance, and our strategy was to address some of these issues. So some of the things we did, we knew that we had to keep our own costs really low. So we started in the National College of Ireland here with Philip and Bertie. Even though there's eight in the company, we have a three-person office. And that's because we've gone cloud computing. As Joss mentioned, we have HR Locker for our HR system. We have an Irish company called Accounts IQ for our finance package. We have Salesforce for our sales solution. And we also use Microsoft BPOS, that's our email, our SharePoint in the cloud. In terms of extents, it's €100 a month for BPOS for 8 of us. We have our SharePoint order files. We have a Windows Live connection for web conferencing. Our HR Locker is less than 50 a month. Our accounting package is about 100 a month. And so literally, you're talking very, very small costs for us to run our business. We've had a very speedy implementation methodology for delivery. We've spread our development team between Ireland and Lithuania to keep our costs down. But cloud computing was a big decision for us. We assessed a number of platforms when we looked at cloud computing. Microsoft Azure, Amazon, we looked at Force.com. But what we really liked about Azure was that they were putting internet and cloud computing at the top of their priorities. Strategically, cloud is number one for Microsoft, and we want to be part of that journey. So, in terms of some of the benefits that we enjoy from cloud computing, first of all, our development costs. When we spent a year and a half working with customers building a solution in a spreadsheet before we ever wrote a line of code. So we had a very defined spec and a clear, in terms of rolling out our software, our scope was really, really defined. We got quotes ranging from 350,000 to $500,000 to build our software and to host it. Hosting costs were coming in the region of 25,000 to 40,000.
When we started developing on Azure, our monthly cost was €90. Now we have two environments, we have test development, we have live, and we have a number of customers, it's gone up to €650 a month. It's just an absolute fraction of the cost which we would have paid if we had done it ourselves. Again, we spread our development team across Lithuania. So we've built our solution over the last year for a price of 90,000. So a huge saving for us in order to be able to scale our company quickly. In terms of support costs, there's a massive advantage for us to be able to support our customers remotely. Our CTO is based in Callan. Our data mining expert is based in Wexford. And we have two developers in Lithuania. So if a customer needs to a fix or a change, if there's an issue with some of the data mapping and upload each month, we can do it within a half an hour very, very, very quickly. So again, a fraction of the cost for us in supporting. In terms of focus, it really allowed us just to focus on our core business, which is providing a technology solution and a business application. We didn't worry about the plumbing, we didn't worry about the security, we didn't worry about all the other, the platform, everything that Azure gave us. It meant that, I used to work for Eon Tech years ago. We spent 2 or 3 years just getting that platform right, the transaction handling and all the different elements that go with that, and spent millions getting to that point. So we were already there for €600 a month, and immediately on to building the business application, focusing on our core competency. I think corporates as well are now looking at, rather than trying to bring in all the expertise in-house, they're looking externally for experts to come in with the domain expertise for HR, we're in the business intelligence space, corporate performance management, and looking externally for a fraction of the cost on an OPEX cost rather than a capital expenditure. In terms of our team, I mentioned that we had a developer in Lithuania. Our sales guys work from home, and one of the things they love is they all have internet dongles for doing their live demos out meeting customers. Sometimes the connection isn't great. So we asked the prospective customer, can we run our demo live on their PC? So again, the sales guys love this, that they can run the live demos anywhere, and they know that they have a different way out of backup in case that the dongles aren't working. Reliability, hugely important for customers, and the speed of support. And some of the customers that we have mentioned here. So we have used corporate performance management solutions, resource optimization, profit modeling, change management software to bring about hundreds of thousands of savings to our customers. We're delighted to have built the company completely on cloud computing and saved ourselves hundreds of thousands. Thank you.
So, I mean, there's a number of different things to pull out of that little bit of a presentation. One of them is if you're not a plumber, don't be a plumber. Okay? I mean, there's no reason for you to be a plumber and worry about your own in-house ERP systems and HR systems and everything else, because they're out there. And so you can leverage those as software as a service, or you can buy a package and bring them in-house. There's no reason for you to spend your time and money and effort and divert from your core mission as a company in order to do those things that are really plumbing. Okay? Going back to this slide here, being able to pull together an international team, and you said 90K, that's including the staff or the...
That's including the staffing costs.
Yeah, including the staffing costs, $90,000 to pull together a corporation and run them for a year, and land some fairly whales of companies, such as there, and be able to save them, they're giving to their customer €400,000 worth of savings there. I mean, there's some exciting things that are possible here with cloud computing, and this kind of impact on our companies is fantastic. So, we need to set our targets right. And we need to focus on the things that we as individual companies, and we as a country, Ireland, I'm saying we as if I'm an Irishman, I'm not. I've got another 4.5 years before I can claim that. But at the moment, I'm living here, I'm a resident, and I'm committed to staying here. And the reason I am is because I believe that Ireland is setting its targets correctly here. So the path to the future, the path to the cloud for the country, okay, is really it's threefold. Okay, and that is demand side, supply side, and infrastructure. Okay, on the demand side is fun and tricky and interesting. Really, it's about educating our users. Okay, who are the users of cloud computing? Everybody. So when you're in your forest the next time, and you see your forest sitting there putting everything on paper and jotting out their accounts and placing the standing orders, you know, in a paper calendar that she's got to write on 1 month and then flip over right on the next month. And I mean, has anybody seen that happening? Yes. Otherwise, you're not a very good husband and not buying your wife enough flowers, right? Okay, so, or vice versa. Men appreciate flowers too. We do. We do. And everyone, all the men chuckling, they probably agree. So, but not just your florist, but your butcher, your, all of the different, small companies, small and medium-sized companies that you see with massive inefficiencies in their business because they're trying to do everything on paper. Even though it has worked, how much more efficient, how many more customers could they be serving if they actually had an online accounting package, if they had a scheduling system that would tell them when their next delivery was, their calendaring system, their HR, their, all of the different things. Start asking them about, what have they thought about for their email, for their online presence, for their integration with their online presence with an ordering system, with their ordering system integration with their staffing, okay? I mean, there's a load of different things that we can start educating our users because we tend to, as a technology group, tend to sit around in little huddles and go, aren't we awesome? And talk to each other about cloud computing. To really take this to the next level, we need to get beyond our technology circles and really start talking to business owners out there, all the way from your small mom and pop, corner grocery or butcher, all the way up to fairly large, major, Fortune 500, 100 companies, and really educating them about the benefits of cloud computing. But even at home, how many people have got a to-do list on the calendar or on the refrigerator? And if you don't, you're not married. But if you look at that online, there are a lot of online to-do lists that you could take with you on your phone. I have a to-do list on my calendar. My wife is able to put things on my to-do list from wherever I am. And this actually, believe it or not, after a while you get used to it. And it becomes very useful. But it's a cloud service that I'm able to take advantage of from wherever my wife and I are able to leverage in our marriage, and it's fantastic. So all the way from home to Fortune 100, educate your users about cloud computing. That's number one. Number two is on the supply side. Okay, so on the supply side, one of the big deals is that we need an educated workforce. We need a workforce that is capable of understanding and building for the cloud. Okay, I mean, one of the things that we can do right now is we can take applications that you're running in your own data centers, on your own machines, and we can move them into the cloud just like that. That's fantastic, and there's some benefit to doing that. But that is not actually leveraging all that the cloud offers. Instant scalability, extraordinarily cheap storage. And if you look at storage options, and I know the numbers for Azure, but many different cloud providers have good numbers around this as well. We have to be very fond of ours and think that ours are very good, and so check out Azure.com for those numbers. But 10 cents a gig per storage, 10 cents a gig per storage per month. And there's a fantastic little device that I saw the other day. It is called the Infinite USB Key. And what it is you plug your USB key into one machine, then you plug the other side of it into another machine, and you can copy sneakerware style through a cloud provider. Okay? And what it means is that your USB key that you stick into your machine now has infinite storage on the back end. Atkins and the Gig Promo. That's fantastic. How much does Nick Gig USB stick cost today? 15 euros.
Boom.
Divide that by 10 cents. US, so it's not even real money. And how much storage can you have for that in the cloud? That's a lot. That's fantastic. So we need to be building our systems to actually leverage that cloud infrastructure, to actually be taking advantage of the fact that they are in the cloud, that they're able to spin up, that they're able to load balance across not just your data center, but across, you know, Dublin and Singapore and Chicago and San Antonio, and be able to load balance across all that. And now what does it take to all of a sudden start kicking in with a checkbox? You're able to say, now put that on my content delivery network. How many people have architected a system with that kind of load balancing and that kind of scalability in mind? And the answer is a couple hundred people in the world. Because a lot of people today are using cloud computing like they would use their own. How can we actually architect this to load balance across multiple data centers and multiple geographies, follow the sun as your users are waking up in one time zone, as they're going to sleep in another? That is part of my mission, is to change the mentality of our architects and to help build a skilled workforce. But that is also a remit for everybody in this room, is to take a look at how are you skilling up, and how are you skilling your developers up, your architects up, on cloud computing? Are you leveraging it just as a data center, or are you actually leveraging it as a cloud provider? So we've got a lot of training out there at Azure.com. So check out Azure.com for all that, and then contact me for a lot more detail. I do architecture reviews and a whole bunch of other fun stuff. My job's fun. It really, really is. And then the third one is on the infrastructure side. So the infrastructure side is kind of fun because we need to be able to connect our users to it. So as you're talking to your florist or your butcher or your tailor, they need to be able to actually be able to access those cloud services. And that includes both wired as well as cellular kind of connectivity. Unfortunately, there's not a great call to action for everybody in the room other than support those initiatives when they go through governments. Okay? When they start looking at building out that infrastructure, you're going, wow, this is going to add an extra half a penny worth of property tax or whatever it happens to be. Also think about the fact that it's going to have a 9.5 billion euro impact on the Irish economy. That it's going to employ an extra 19,500 people. That it's going to spring up 2,200 new small and medium-sized businesses. And that it's going to impact your business, your ability to sell, market, develop, get out there in the open tremendously. So remember that and support those initiatives. So that is Microsoft's vision of cloud computing here in Ireland. And so, I invite you to step on board that vision and help me support it. Reach out to me, josh.holmes.com and josh.holmes@microsoft.com. Most of the artwork in here, all of this style artwork, was done by my artist Fritz out of Denmark. He is available for hire. Artist as a service. Not that that's a plug. It's about 90 quid per image, I think was the last time I got a quote from it. But he's fantastic. So, with that, thank you.